Hello everyone, and welcome to the NLSC Podcast, your source for basketball video game chatter. This is episode number 146. I am your host, Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane in the forum.
Hey everyone.
And not too bad, Ben, that's my second take this week of the intro. and I even stumbled over that a little bit. It's one of those days, but you know what? We are presenting this like it's a live show, even though it's most definitely not. Otherwise, you would have heard that first take.
It was a pretty good first take. It was a roller coaster ride of where is this going.
it's like I just said to you before we started recording on this slightly better take. When you start losing control of the dribble on the court, and it's just, you know, you're trying to recover, but no, it's off your foot and out of bounds. It's there's no salvaging it.
That's true.
Well, but I mean, fortunately for us, I should say, we get to have that do-over. I mean, if you turn the ball over in basketball, you can't just say, oh, I'll have a do-over. But, so...
One do-over, please, ref.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe Joey Crawford would let it happen. Let it slide, but who knows with some of the decisions he's made. But yes, we are here. This is the post-All-Star pre-trade deadline edition of the NLSC podcast for 2016. We are, I guess, less than a day away from the trade deadline, U.S. time. So possibly by the time you've heard this, you'll already know what's going down. So our predictions may be, and speculation may be, wildly outdated by the time you're hearing this. But you can compare it, and we, you know, it's our day to record. Trade deadline is tomorrow. What are you going to do? Nevertheless, we'll have some fun discussing that. But yes, it was the All-Star weekend, Ben, and we will talk about that in a little bit. But pretty eventful, actually. We got some news this week and speculation and a few tidbits. It's actually rare to get that in the middle of February, apart from the All-Star and trade deadline talk.
Yeah, I reckon. So it's pretty good that we got something really early.
So let's get right into this week's basketball video game topics. We're going to start out with the All-Star Weekend title update for NBA Live 16. Just after we wrapped up last week's episode, this came through, because that's the way it goes with us. As soon as we wrap up recording, something is released or announced. And the NBA Live 16 update version 1.06 was released. And that basically added the new All-Star court and jerseys, new live season content. So we finally got the, you know, we've been talking for a couple of weeks now, Ben, about having no live season content. That's come through as of the update.
Yeah, I realized that. I was like, oh, what are the odds? So hopefully... while mentioning on the podcast over the last couple of weeks, maybe help sort of make him go, all right, yeah, we forgot.
Well, certainly a few people in the NBA Live community were outspoken, so whatever the issue was, that's started coming through now. We'll see if the content continues to come through to the end of the 2016 season. So the All-Star Court and Jerseys, live season content, which includes the big moments. So I was actually able to get that big moments trophy, complete a big moment within 24 hours of being posted.
Nice,
so,
nicely done.
So I made sure to do that, just in case that we don't get any for another couple of weeks. Fingers crossed there are no problems from here on out. And also bug and stability fixes. No further release notes on the specifics. Although the blog on the official website did mention that some improvements to presentation and online head-to-head play. Also some new player faces, including Kristaps Porzingis, the New York Knicks. He's finally got a proper face.
Yay.
But no proper face for Langston Galloway, unfortunately. So sorry, MP3. I know you're still waiting for that and other players. And Izzy Snow, you're waiting for Garrett Temple, I believe, on the Washington Wizards. So a few players still not coming through. But we did get that All-Star update to push through all the All-Star content. And the rosters were updated. I still believe there might be a couple of players missing, need to do a proper comb through, need to print out some rosters and do a checklist, I think. But the All-Star rosters were up to date, including the replacement of Jimmy Butler by Pau Gasol in the on the bench for the East. Not replacement for Chris Bosh. He was a late scratch, obviously, and which we'll talk about later on. That happened after the roster update came through, so kind of hard to include something that hasn't happened yet. And not that it hasn't stopped people from asking me why did I not include trades in roster updates that I've released when they've happened after I released the update. no matter how long you can work on the rosters, you don't really develop psychic abilities.
Yeah.
So that is one thing that we lack. But that was cool to see that come through. And the other thing that came through just in time for All-Star Weekend was a bunch of All-Star content in Ultimate Team, including, let's see, 50 new player cards, including boosted versions of the All-Star participants and some other key players, 12 solo challenges, and one new Master Challenge. So all the latest content is still in there. And I believe, if I've got the date right, all of that content is lasting through until the 23rd of Feb. So there's still a few days left to do those challenges and get some of those good cards. So quite a significant update for NBA Live 16, which was nice to see after we were a bit antsy about not seeing so much content for at least a few weeks there.
Yeah, well, for those game modes and stuff, I'm glad, that there was something added. So let's hope, more a few more of those before this season end. Keeping, the game alive for some people to play for the remainder of the season and that before we start really getting more news on Live 17.
Absolutely. And, I've been doing some of the All-Star challenges in Ultimate Team, getting a few nice players to add to my Ultimate Team roster. But what's really annoying me at the moment, I've lost, I think, two or three games it is now to the three-point team, the team of the three-point competitors.
Oh, really?
Because, well, here's the problem with Live, and we need to go into this in the wish list, and I will be mentioning it in my personal wish list that I am still compiling, ready to post in the next few days. I intend to anyway. There are some very annoying quirks with the defensive AI in NBA Live 16, where a lot of it affects the paint defense, where your teammates will either just stand around and watch a player drive straight past them to the hoop. They won't rotate over and fill the lane, collapse on the driving player, or sometimes they'll even scoot out of the way, which feels a bit cheap. But at the same time, they'll also leave three-point shooters open a little bit more often than they should as well. And with a team full of three-point shooters, as in this Ultimate Team Challenge, not a good idea to leave anyone open on the perimeter because they're all really good three-point shooters, obviously. So I've been killed, and then I was getting frustrated. And when you get frustrated, you really get blown out because you're not playing well at all, and
Then
you're
he's.
growling, swearing at the screen, and just firing up threes and not playing well at all. So I need to take some advice that I gave everyone else in the Friday Five a few weeks back and just settle things down and maybe pull out some of my short-term legend cards. Maybe it's time to bring out Shaq and hit them with Shaq because I've got a 2000 Shaq. So it's time to, if they can play the outside game, I'm just going to overpower them inside with Shaq maybe and then lose the game and then I've lost that card and wasted it. But you know what? Got to use it sometime. This is my problem with Fallout actually. I keep all the good weapons stashed in my hideout. And I don't use the good weapons, so they don't do you any good on the shelf, Ben.
No,
So
it's probably like me in my shoes where I keep the good ones and rarely even, or if not, wear them until.
well, collectibles. So
Yeah.
I guess
I guess it's a creature habit.
it is. Yeah, it's like I don't want to use it up. It looks really nice there in the collections.
Yeah.
So yeah, the All-Star Weekend came through. The content came through. Hopefully, as you said, that does continue, as well as the roster updates, of course. And if they can sneak a few more player scans, pay scans in there, that would be very nice. Should also note we are going to be talking about what we've been doing in basketball games. But as I've been flicking through the menu in NBA Live 16, seem to notice more people playing Live Pro-Am at the moment. The shows the number in the menu of how many people are playing, and obviously. That number's been reported to be very low with the low sales of Live 16 compared to 2K16. But I've noticed some larger numbers when I've logged on at various times of the day. So that's, I guess, people are giving the game a go.
That's good. Like it, yeah, we said it, the game mode is quite fun, and so it could be a lot of people's go-to mode in there for when they want something quick and fun, so.
So I have noticed people express frustration with 2K and enjoying Live, and of course that's good to see for Live that they're actually being able to pick up some people and get people at least interested in the potential of the series. I mean, they have perhaps, and we discussed this before, perhaps lost some goodwill with not being able to implement some features as quickly as people would like the last few years. So if they can get some goodwill and interest, that's definitely good for the series. I've seen some people say that 2K16 sucks. I would disagree with that. 2K16 certainly does not suck. Whatever good points Live has, and Live does have some good points, 2K is certainly not a terrible game. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, of course, but I don't think there's an opinion. 2K sucking is not an opinion, I think, that is based on accurate rationale, shall we say. It's a very good game. Although I do like Live 16 and play it a lot. I also play 2K16 and will not say that that game is a terrible game, because I really don't think it is. But it is nice to see more people playing Live, and something else that they perhaps may bring some more people into the Live brand. It was just reported on Operation Sports today, and we posted a bulletin as well. NBA Live Mobile is now available in at least to Canadian gamers. It's available for both iOS and Android devices, and it's actually free. So if you want to pick that up, I actually found out that it's not compatible with any of my devices, my Android devices, neither my business phone nor my personal mobile, so I guess I won't be getting it, but I guess I've got the full proper version anyway, so I guess I don't really miss out if I want to play NBA Live, but interesting that they're getting back into the mobile platform.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of the other games have some form of companion app and that, so... makes sense, but the fact that
this isn't a companion app. This is actually because Live does that as well to scan the face in.
But I meant something to coexist with the game in that. And actually have some form of game mode feature in it, as opposed to just being a little second screen experience kind of thing. Good to see it's free as well. So that's good, because I know a couple of the games that they have, like even NBA Jams, like a couple of dollars to have. So the fact that they're doing it for free. I tried looking for it on the Google Store.
On Google Play, it's not
there.
Not in Australia. No, it's only in Canada. It seems at the moment. So. So I guess coming to the US and other regions, I mean, it's usually in Canada and the US at the same time, so that is very weird.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, seems to be trickling out there slowly but surely.
You think a test market just to sort of see and then expand upon that?
Possibly. I mean, it's possible that this was actually developed by. It doesn't have any of the information, I should say, on who developed apart from Electronic Arts, EA Sports. Whether they've outsourced, so to speak, this to the EA Burnaby, EA Canada, while the main game is still made in
Tiburon.
In Tiburon, I don't know. So if it was developed up there independently of the dev team down in Tiburon, maybe the test market is Canada. So, but I'll just bring up some information on it from the bulletin. So stay fresh in daily live events. NBA Live Mobile connects you to the NBA every day, all year long. Instantly tap into brand new challenges and incredible rewards every day with live events, evolving matchups, head-to-head, and season modes. Assemble your team. Select your favorite NBA franchise and become GM. Acquire real NBA players from the past and present by opening packs. So basically like an ultimate team equivalent right there. Find edges to dominate. Play through fast-paced NBA seasons to build your powerhouse franchise. Unlock special abilities for your team members. Dominate friends and take your franchise to the next level. NBA Live Mobile brings real NBA events and next-generation hardware action straight to your fingertips. Are you ready to rise to the top? So a cut-down version of the console game, obviously, but for free. Maybe worth a look. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to with my device. I just upgraded last year, so I'm not getting another one.
Yeah, well, but... my device is a little bit older. Hopefully, for me, later this year, I'll be able to upgrade. Because, my device is starting to show its age. So,
Because the NBA Live companion app won't work for you, will it? The face scan.
Nope.
No. So I'm guessing this probably won't, because the companion app will work on mine.
Yep.
but not this. Apparently not compatible, because I opened up the link in the browser. So maybe that's just because it's a different region. So I don't know, but perhaps when it is released worldwide, it will actually be compatible. So we'll have to see. But for the moment, well. Neither of us are in Canada, as you can tell by our accents, so we can't really comment on it, even if we do have compatible devices, so we'll have to wait and see there. But Since they are expanding into other platforms, I'll just put the suggestion out there, and of course I'd make it to them directly as well in my through my contacts, but just here on the podcast, PC maybe. We're just throwing it out there, you know. Just want to mention it. So.
Even if just through Steam or Origin, whatever you want to do, just.
Oh, yeah, you know what? If it takes getting Origin to use it, and so it's got the digital platform, as long as we can mod the game to a certain extent, as long as we've got the full featured game, yeah, I'll use Origin.
Yeah, I mean, I'll happily put it on my work, my new work laptop, so yeah. Just to play it, and yeah, like you said, if it's moddable, then hell yes.
I mean, even if it's not, I want to see the PC version. But if it's moddable, you know, we'd love that. So much the better. So, just throwing it out there because there's no way we wouldn't make a mention of that. But speaking of future NBA Live releases, NBA Live 17 is still slated to come out later this year. We have no indication to suspect otherwise at this time. And in fact, we do have reports already of what might be going into NBA Live 17. This has not been confirmed by EA Sports themselves, but there was an announcement by the Goodman League commissioner, and that's Miles Rawls, announced that Barry Farms Coliseum in Washington, D.C. will be included in NBA Live 17. And that same article mentioned that the Drew League and Dykeman Basketball Tournament will also be represented in some form in NBA Live 17 with their venues. So that's, if true, and I don't see any reason why they'd be putting that information out there on their official sites if there weren't deals in place. Some of these early tidbits that would suggest live pro-am courts, Summer Circuit, and a live run, of course. So now I want to see more work put into Dynasty and Rising Star and other modes like that, and some more stuff added to Ultimate Team. But we, as we said, live pro-am is a great idea, definitely a hook for the game. So it's not surprising and quite. Quite pleasing to see these other venues ready to be represented in NBA Live 17.
Yeah, and it's good to see the mode, at least that mode, getting expanded upon, not just, I suppose, just sort of kept in there for a couple of years with really no change in that. So hopefully a sign of things to come for the other modes that, that there'll be that kind of expansion upon it.
I mean, we've said it, and we continue to say it every week that on some things there can be no next year, and it is important that they have live pro-am. That is a great hook. It is a very fun mode, so it is important they continue to build on that. But the thing that people have said in the forum and elsewhere is that isn't this NBA Live? So shouldn't there be more NBA-based content, deeper Dynasty and things like that? And I keep mentioning Dynasty in particular because that's where my heart lies, but I absolutely do want to see that, but I also like the idea of this new content and the fact that they are representing all these prominent tournaments and summer leagues and everything is really a good expansion of the culture that Live Pro-Am has.
It's tapping into a different market in that sense, and expanding it beyond just like a normal 5-on-5 NBA game in that. So yeah, it's good in that sense, but
It's
do
good to see. Yeah.
yeah, a good bit of variety, and it's just something a little bit different from you constantly feel like you're just playing a play now game with NBA players, like the same teams and stuff like that. So I think that's a good concept. But yeah, I do agree that the actual NBA modes need more to it, and hopefully that work has been put into them.
Well, that may lead into a question that we received from a listener this week, and we thank you, as always, for your submissions. What do we think NBA Live 17 has to do to bring attention to the game? Now, we've talked about some of the improvements we want to see, and I guess that kind of ties into this question as well. But, obviously it needs a hook because 2K is doing what it's doing in depth, and it's got the gameplay that a lot of people like and the modes that people really like. So it has a lot of marketing hooks, if you will. So what does NBA Live 17 have to do, in your opinion, to really sell itself, aside from the obvious improve what's already there?
Yeah. What would be the best, like, in terms of intensity marketing way?
Well, see, I mean, live pro-am, that's a good start.
Yeah.
I think that is a good hook from online multiplayer and everything. I do think perhaps they maybe need to bring some more NBA content into there. I know the content's there with the summer circuit, the NBA stuff with the opponents. Honestly, I think the All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
Because that's something that 2K hasn't done. Well, I mean, they've got the dunk contest and the 3-point shoot, but as far as the standalone All-Star Weekend mode, 2K doesn't have that. Well, maybe they're working on it for 2K17, we don't know. But if not, and if there's no if they don't somehow have an exclusive claim on representing the All-Star Weekend in their NBA game, I think that that EA should bring back what they've done on the previous generation. I mean, maybe the animations will look a little bit dated for the dunk contest and everything, but it's still a side thing, and we still had some crazy dunks,
Yeah.
honey dip from the free throw line. Come on, we are throwing some realism out the window. Well, mind you, what we saw this past weekend, who knows? But nevertheless, I think All-Star Weekend would be a huge selling point. All-Star Weekend, maybe FIBA, if they can get the FIBA license again.
Yeah, bring back a lot of the classic stuff that they had and were good at doing, and especially now that they could potentially do more with it. And especially with this being a Olympic year, isn't it?
It is, yes,
Yeah,
2016.
yeah. So, perfect time to bring back the FIBA teams and have them done properly and stuff. So, yeah.
Because I don't think they can really top what 2K has done with the historical content at this point, especially since they don't have Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that'll be a tough ask. What else? And obviously, 2K has some of the European teams and stuff like that. So,
They got the EuroLeague, yeah.
yeah. So, and whether they're getting expanded upon and stuff, we don't know either. But at least this way is a way of getting some European players in. I suppose 2K has done the old classic USA teams and stuff like that, but
Yeah,
they haven't done
yeah.
that for a while, so.
But then it comes back to you're not going to have Michael Jordan, so.
Yeah,
And
that's.
people are going to want their 92 All-Star, sorry, 92 Dream Team, rather. So
Yeah, damn it.
it is tough with that. And so I would say, yeah, All-Star Weekend, FIBA, possibly FIBA, and you have to do some more stuff with Live Pro-Am. But on top of that, to really bring the attention to the game, you have to make those strides on top of everything else, because people are going to say, okay, All-Star Weekend, yeah, FIBA, that's nice, Live Pro-Am, pretty cool, but what else has Live got? Has it still got the same problems with the animations and the gameplay, and the depth in Dynasty Mode and Rising Star? So Live 17's got to bring a lot of stuff across the board. They need to have one good gimmick, but whether that's a big addition to Pro-Am or something like All-Star Weekend, or FIBA teams, a big hook like that, and they need to really bring it. They need to show that the animations are better and the gameplay is better, and that some attention has gone to Dynasty at the very least, and roster editing, of course. If they have to show that they've got this really good complete game with a really fun hook, that will bring attention to the game. Because as much as people say they're giving up on Live, as soon as those previews come out, there's a little bit of interest. People go, okay, yeah, let's see what's going on. So I mean, there's still that attention there, and there's still enough people that are not 100% satisfied with what 2K are doing, that they are still going to look for an alternative. So EA really has to capitalize on that.
And either another selling point could be undercutting it, like in terms of pricing, or
That's been suggested before. We've discussed that, and yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good gimmick right there, that you can get this.
if you're gonna have basically like how you get special editions and collector editions and stuff like that, something that comes with it, something that will like. Aside from just like mini basketballs and stuff like that, maybe.
Like in-game content or something.
Well, yeah, even like a physical thing that you actually get with it, so that way it'll entice people to like, whoa, I want to get that. I mean, 2K16, the Jordan one was okay. I mean, you got a poster and stuff, but you know, if you look at things like some of the like your Pip-Boy version of Fallout 4, or the you know the
And there was a lunchbox version of Fallout 4, the Vol-Tec lunchbox and things like that. There was a
yeah.
collector's edition that comes in an atomic bomb. Yeah,
You know,
yeah.
something you know that kind of awesome. You know, maybe like a little 12-inch statue or whatever of the cover boy and stuff like that, with like sort of like
So,
the
yeah, team up
like
with
the
someone,
you
yeah.
know, like with Enterbay and all that stuff, with their statues where you can interchangeable elements to it, something like that. You know, make like a $200 version or whatever, $150 version of it, where it comes with that sort of thing. Again, those are your Australian pricing, so you know.
Yeah,
That's
much much less in the States, yeah, where we're
yeah
paying premium. But
yeah
I think that's possible. I think they're going to sell more going cheaper and showing goodwill that way than giving a collector's edition. But still, if they can get a cool collector's edition, they would. That wouldn't be the worst idea. I mean, it would be interesting if nothing else. You know what I'd like is one of those T-shirts that occasionally they put up to win with the
yes
old NBA Live 95 player with the star player icon under.
yep.
The retro NBA Live shirt, that's what I want to win. That's what I'd buy in a collector's edition, because
Yeah, well,
I actually wanted to get.
even you know something like that, that could be sort of like an in between, like how they do like
Yeah,
maybe three or four versions. So,
I actually wanted to get one when I was over in Tiburon when I was at the studio last year, but unfortunately the shop was closed for renovations or something at the time.
ah,
So
damn.
I was all ready to put my money down. You know, they paid for me to go over there, so I wasn't going to say, "Give me all the free stuff you have." But I was quite, well, unless they were going to offer it, I was, you know, I'm a mercenary like that, I guess. But I was quite willing to buy a t-shirt like that, because I look quite like the look of those retro NBA Live shirts.
Well, I
So
was
yeah.
sort of thinking along the lines of that. I'm willing to put my factory into work if they wanted that kind of material, like that kind of thing done. Like I can get some promotional shirts made up for them, no problem. So I'll put my hand up for that.
Makes Australian distribution a lot easier for us,
Yeah,
I
well,
guess. So.
my factories are capable of shipping overseas and that. So yeah, if I
Yeah.
got the facilities to do it, if EA are interested, I'm willing to,
To
yeah.
hand out a business card, I think.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's some of the stuff that I think that, and I guess we both think that NBA Live needs to do to really bring that attention. It does come down to making a solid product that people can see, and they can see the content of the game and say, this is a game that we really want, with some fun hooks. So we'll see what comes. But that is cool that they're adding some extra venues. I figured they would. Of course, they pushed one through with one of the updates, the Chicago, Illinois court earlier this year. So that is a good idea, as we said. So, coming to our week in basketball gaming, this is where we talk about what we've been playing in basketball games the last week. I've mostly been sticking to Ultimate Team, trying to get those All-Star Weekend challenges in Live Ultimate Team. As I said, getting stuck on the damn three-point shooters. They're just roasting me from the outside at the moment. Kind of the way it's going in the real NBA and the All-Star Weekend, which we'll get to shortly. Haven't been doing a lot much apart from that. As I said last week, have started the My League and Dynasty games, both with the Bulls, getting Ben Gordon as a player to bring off the bench, signing him as a free agent. I wrote an article in the Monday tip-off about that, if you want to go back and check that out, and I'll keep everyone informed on the progress, probably in both written format and checking in on the podcast as well. Haven't started that yet. I've just been doing the quick games in the quicker games, I should say, in Ultimate Team, because I do like to play the longer quarter lengths when I do Dynasty and my league. So that's basically my plan, to see how they go and see whether I actually want to end up, whether I do the same things in each mode in both games, or whether I decide, okay, live is a little bit more shallow in the dynasty mode, so I'm just going to do some crazy stuff. You know, who can I trade Derrick Rose for? That's not happening in real life. And then whether I make my league a bit more realistic, or whether I both try to make some out there trades in both, how they diverge and end up together. So I thought that'd be a fun experiment. I, because all the years that I've been buying both games, I haven't actually done that yet, doing it the same, or at least the same starting point in both games, and seeing how it kind of works out in both ones.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've sort of been the same way with a lot of the, you know, I don't expand too much in the modes and stuff, so I mean, I have to do the same. I mean, I have kind of started now, but this past week I haven't really delved too much into the other modes yet. I was just, I think I've only played one My Career game since the podcast. That was yesterday, since last week, and that. And I was probably played one game just, wait, no, I may have played twice.
Do you find that you're getting a bit sick of the mode, or is it just other things have gotten in the way this week? Or a bit, or both?
I say it's just. Well, I did want to play another game, but I sort of just after a couple of minutes, I just wasn't in the mood in the end. So,
Okay.
yeah, like I think I started a quarter and a couple, like, about 5 minutes into it, I was probably like, just not right now, kind of thing. So yeah, it's just probably been a bit of mood. Not so much saying over the game or anything. It's just, yeah, just had a few other things to sort of think about and do this week. So yeah, it's and what
Does it lose some of that impact after the? Because you're in, is it the third season you're in now, or
yeah, ten, yeah.
second full season, third?
I think it's something like that, yeah.
Right.
And yeah, because I think, you see all the cutscene stuff sort of more at the end of the first, and that's when it kind of dies down. It's just sort of becomes repetitive because there's,
Goes back to the RPG style mode.
there's nothing really engaging to keep you in it, in a sense.
Right,
Well,
right.
yeah, you'll still get endorsements, but it's all just sort of done by SMS, and then you do a training session, or you go to,
Pop-ups and things like that, yeah.
So, the element of the story and that sort of dies out, and it probably just feels like past games and that sort of thing, past years and all that. So, that's what I know. It's an extremely large mode to work on, and obviously with all the video cutscenes and stuff, would take a lot of storage and stuff, and then working with the actors and all that. But for
Yep.
me, there just needs to be something to go beyond that.
A few more bells and whistles, sort of in that second, third year onwards, just a bit more spice it up.
Just beef it up, and it'll continue that engaging interest and stuff like that. Otherwise, it's just monotonous, repetitive. It's essentially just like playing a play now game just with yourself in it. So.
So how do you, I mean, you have gone through to the second, third season, second full season, third overall. How do you find that you do keep your interest in that? I mean, when I play a Dynasty, for example, for years I did the story thread in the forum, that kind of sharing that experience with other people made that a bit more interesting. Every so often I could make a trade because that's you're in charge of the whole team, so there's that all kinds of things you can micromanage, not to the extent of my league, of course, and whether you're talking about the old Dynasty or the rebooted Dynasty in the recent games. But there's usually a way that you can spice things up and keep it interesting because you can do so much with the team. So yeah, how do you... I'm trying to think how long I've gone into a My Career. Probably a couple of years before in my NBA 2K13 My Career. So how do you keep interested? Because with your interest waning a little bit at the moment, do you have any ideas or suggestions? What you Because other people, I'm sure, are running into the same problem once you get to year two, three, four, and onwards.
I guess it'd be whether you do things like request a trade or something like that, or just join it when you become a free agent, join a new team. I think the contracts for the 2K16 seem to be about 2 years, so it gives you that chance to move on and stuff. So that's potentially a way, new home, new vibe, sort of thing. If
So you go the Moses Malone route where you're just sort of going and moving around the league despite being a big star.
you could end up playing for all 30 teams, maybe, or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, now there's a challenge to see if you could actually get traded that many times in my career.
Yeah, that'd be a that'd be a good achievement, trophy to get.
Play for all 30 teams in the one career,
Yeah.
yeah. I think very rare would be what's listed next to that trophy. But...
Yeah, that'd be definitely a platinum trophy.
Mm.
Yeah, something like that, whether if say you've been playing for your favorite team and stuff, maybe playing a team you have some interest in, or see as a rebuilding team, and maybe you want to be that player that can become that franchise player and that for that team, and so sort of a change of scenery and that sort of thing. Or if you hadn't won a championship, establish yourself in a position to get one in there before moving on.
Retire for 18 months, play a basketball video game, and then return. And
So things like that, that'd be a way to, keep the interest going. What else? There's not really much else you can technically do, really.
just find enjoyment in trying to shoot for goal, shoot for different milestones and marks, I guess. Have you, 'cause you've still got the Hall of Fame checklist, don't you?
There's still all that stuff. You get.
Oh, well, there's that, I suppose, to keep you going.
So yeah, it depends on how OCD you are, I suppose, in trying to achieve all those things and that.
Well, there's people, that want to get that all trophy, so,
What else is to be, if the games are too dragging on too long, where maybe shorten the quarters up. If say like I play about 10 minute quarters, and sometimes that kind of goes on too long, so maybe bump it down if
Cut it down
you,
6 to 8 or something like that,
yeah,
yeah.
That's a way to sort of freshen it up and keep it quick in that, or not so much keep it quick, but
Get through the season a bit quicker, so it's not so much a long
yeah,
slog that they're having to simulate.
because even just
No, that's
playing one full season's a marathon as is, so
not unlike the well, there is. It's the NBA experience. It's season's very long. Now that's some good advice. So, I mean, if anyone else has any advice on how they'd like to keep my league or dynasty, my GM, my career rising star, perhaps in particular my career being the mode that it is with stuck with one player for a whole career, let us know. It'd be interesting to hear some tips. I'd like to re as a basketball gaming community, sometimes I feel we don't share enough tips like that, which is why I was trying to get some tips at the end of the podcast, because I still can't think of a great sign-off line, three years into doing this as a digital broadcaster, to my utmost shame, of course. But absolutely, I think we should share more tips with that we can do it, because we love to play the games, and we play them quite a bit, and other people love them just as much in the community. So yeah, let us know, and let your fellow basketball gamers know. Tips, obviously, strategies how to master the games, but how to also keep the games fresh and challenging. So always an interesting topic to discuss.
Yeah, just one more quick little thing. I think 2K14, you had a meeting with the GM and all that stuff, and
Yes.
they when they were wanting to build around you, they could they asked, the types of play, like which players would you like to bring into the team and all that stuff. So that was a cool way, if there's,
Reshape the teams,
yeah,
yeah.
and that way you can. If you didn't want to really change teams, but you wanted to play with certain players, the team, your team would try and obviously go out and try and get these guys to sign as when they're free agents and stuff. So I don't think that's in 2K16, or I haven't experienced it yet. But if they could bring that back in, again, we're wanting a my career mode that's very much open, where we can
Yeah.
tell our story and that. So
We need that coach. We need that coach killer trophy as well. So get your coach fired, and yeah.
So yeah, any type of thing like that that adds that variety of spice in, it depends on
Yeah. Oh,
the team
absolutely.
that
Yeah.
it could the some of the situations could depend on what team you're playing for, and how they might. It's like an AI mode in a sense, where, if the team sees you as the key player and they want to build around you, they might ask you who would you like to bring in and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you establish yourself as having that cred, that sway over the team that you can that will take your suggestions to heart. Yeah, I mean that's obviously stuff that 2K should be doing, and that's definitely wish list stuff that's worth mentioning. But yeah, sort of in the meantime, I guess we need to make our own fun to a certain extent. But yeah, I agree with what you say. Definitely needed more of that open world RPG kind of element, and that's as I've said before. What I think is the problem with my career at the moment is that it lacks that proper identity. It's got that story early on, especially the Spike Lee story, and then it's trying to mix this RPG element of putting yourself in the game with a very predetermined character of the story, so it doesn't know whether it wants to be a like doesn't want to know, it doesn't know whether it wants to be GTA or Fallout, I think, as far as being able to create a character, although Fallout does have a story, an ongoing story, so.
Well, whether it wants to be GTA or GTA single player or story mode or online mode.
Or multiplayer, yeah.
So that's.
But there are obviously things we can do. So take those tips to under advisement, and certainly throw out your own. Interested in hearing some from our community members on that, and yeah, share them in the forum by all means. But that's pretty much it for the basketball gaming section. We are moving on to our usual real NBA section now, and of course, the big story, the 2016 NBA All-Star Weekend was last weekend in Toronto, and pretty exciting in many respects. We'll just run through some of the results and give our thoughts. Some of the events we're probably going to have more to say about than others. A couple in particular, the big game and the dunk contest, because, man, that dunk contest. And, we'll not to spoil what we're going to say, but certainly I think we'll both have some positive thoughts on that. But starting out, well, let's go with our predictions. We both said Team USA, did we not, for the celebrity game?
Yep, that's right.
Yep, so Nord have won to start out. It's always a good start with our predictions. Team Canada won. Despite your shot ban about Drake's shooting form, at least the players on the court seem to shoot a little bit better than Team USA.
That's true.
Well, let's see who they got. They got Fox. I like how they list, I'm looking at Wikipedia, I like how they list Rick Fox as an NBA TV analyst, which he is, but he's also a former NBA player. I mean, starting small forward on the championship teams with the Lakers, Tracy McGrady, NBA legend. Let's see, the Bucks owner played for Team USA. Okay, there you go. So Team Canada won, and we're off to a fantastic start with our predictions, but we did a little bit better with the Rising Stars Challenge. The Team USA won 157 to 154 in a defensive showdown. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, so they won that game. Zach LaVine was the MVP in that game. And yeah, so we're 1-1 at the moment. And that wasn't too bad. The young guys always put on a bit of a show. Some players getting playing time that they wouldn't necessarily have. And moving on to All-Star Saturday, no Rising Stars, sorry, Radio Shack Shooting Challenge, or whatever, whoever would have sponsored it anyway. No Shooting Challenge, Shooting Stars Challenge. I was not brokenhearted about that, but we instead started with the Skills Challenge. We had bigs in the contest, centers and power forwards for the first time, and of course, a center won it as Karl-Anthony Towns, the rookie. Number one pick for the Timberwolves, 7 foot, listed 7 foot, 244 pounds, defeated the smallest player in the contest, the speedy all-star Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics in the final. So yeah, we saw that coming.
It was the most likely situation in the end that was going to happen. We'd sort of jinx the smaller guys and all that stuff. So,
So one and two,
yeah.
one and two. And so, I mean, that's fun to see the big guys do that, I guess. But yeah, obviously they can hold their own.
Yeah,
This is the league we're playing in.
and I mean, from what I understand, like I didn't get to see the entire event, but I saw like a recap of. The final two and all that stuff, and it actually looked like it was entertaining and good. Like it wasn't
Yeah.
like like, can we switch this crap off kind of thing.
Can we get through to the
Yeah.
the 3-point contest and the dunk contest? Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean that was a positive. I mean, whether it was all one off just because, you know, to see there's some big men in it for the first time, or whether it was legitimately competitive and that made it interesting, which was,
Maybe a bit of both.
yeah.
Maybe a bit of both. But we move on to the we're 1-2 at this point, both of us, because neither of us picked Carl Anthony Towns. Not even as our dark horse pick, I don't think.
No.
So, yeah, and in fact, also DeMarcus Cousins made it through to the second round as well. He was facing off with Anthony Davis. So either way, a big was going to face off in the second round there. In the 3-point contest, we both had Stephen Curry, and Stephen Curry was the runner up this year. 21 score of 21 in the first round, 23 in the second round. It was the other Splash Brother, Klay Thompson. With a score of 22 in the first round and 27 in the final round, which is more than the old record, of course. But of course, that's the way it goes with the extra rack of money balls, which I'm still a bit iffy about.
Yeah, I think like with the in terms of the milestone achievement in owning the record, it
I think there needs to be two record books, like or an asterisk or something that says, look, you know, there are now more points to earn with that rec with you know, the record has changed, basically.
Something to indicate that, you know, it's different.
It's like when they have the pre-shot clock and post-shot clock records, you know, it's denoted or you know, there's something in the record books to say. And I know that seems really petty on an all-star event 3-point contest, but like I've said before, it feels like they realized, well, no one's really broken the record for years. Let's make it easier. So they added the extra money ball rack. But nevertheless, Klay Thompson, that's still, you know, a pretty impressive score. Whichever way you want to be a bitter old man and cut it down, I guess. You know, still an impressive shooting performance, score of 22 and 27. Chris Bosh pulled out of the event. We will discuss that a little bit later on because it's possibly some serious ramifications there. Also, was pulled out of the All-Star game, replaced by Al Horford at the last minute. So poor Al Horford, if he was going to go on holidays or something over the weekend, he was pressed into service, although seemed pretty happy to represent the Hawks nevertheless. So yeah, Klay Thompson is the other Splash Brother. He wins it, and I think he was our backup pick, was he? But that doesn't count. We're still 1-3 at this point.
I think Bosch was my dark horse, so yep.
Chris Middleton was mine, my dark horse, and he, of course, had the lowest score because I really can't pick him. Well, actually, you know what? Chris Bosh had the lowest score because he didn't even compete. So there you go. That's a big old dash in both of those rounds right there. But this comes to the dunk contest, and I mean, just to put it right out there, I mean, a lot of people have been calling it the best dunk contest of all time, better than 88, better than 2000, better Jewel, better dunks than Jordan and Neek did. J.A. Adonde said that in an ESPN article, which I thought was kind of a rubbish article, even if I didn't disagree with the overall assessment. I thought it was usual ESPN, BSBN, shall I say. It was argued almost as poorly as Jameel Hill's Kobe is better than Jordan. If you don't think so, you're a hater. Logic. And oh, and here's Sherrone Wright, the big bust from the 1994 draft. He thinks Kobe's better too. So his opinion, you know, he played in the NBA. Yeah, terribly.
No one even remembers him.
It was the I don't even remember what pick he was in the draft. Possibly fourth. I'll look that up when I hand the mic over to you. Just to satisfy my own curiosity now. But it was all anyway, it was almost that bad as far as it's up there with Kelly Dwyer saying that anyone who didn't enjoy the All-Star game is again just blinded by nostalgia. But I'll get to that in a little bit. Nevertheless, I do actually kind of agree with J.A. Anonde, even if he did word the argument very poorly, in my opinion. I think this was one of the greatest dunk contests of all time. I'd put it up there with 88 and 2000, and I think with a bit more time to reflect on it, I'd feel quite comfortable in saying this is arguably, quite possibly, the best dunk contest because what a finale! What dunks! What amazing dunks we saw!
And the fact that, you know, it went into extra rounds and these guys had
Yeah.
to come up With Duncan.
Two tiebreakers. Two tiebreakers.
Wasn't it three?
I'm just looking. It's got the. They've got four scores.
Okay.
In the dunk contest. I'm just looking at them on Wikipedia. It's got 50 plus 50 plus 50 plus 50 for Zach LaVine. The most 50s ever handed out in one contest. Eight 50s.
So that shows the competitiveness of it. I mean, even some of the, well, aside from Will really no thrill Barton's attempts and that.
The first one was okay, and then the second one, well, he didn't even get the second one down,
No,
so.
so aside from that hiccup, they were generally entertaining and good dunks. It was definitely better than last year's in terms of like the early rounds, and then yeah, it just got better and it was just phenomenal in terms of that, and especially when they had to think on the fly and then outdo each other. I think yes, one of the best ones, that's for sure. I think in ways, Gordon's dunk was the one where he cocks it behind his head and then brings it down like Baby Jordan and then does a reverse. That was a two-in-one dunk.
You couldn't really see what happened because when he first did it, I thought, oh, nice dunk, but it's just a double palm
Yeah.
reverse. And then when you see that he sort of faked going one way and then did the other and then back again,
Yeah.
it's one of those ones that, yeah, you have to see it in slow motion to appreciate. And those dunks always seem to screw players over, sadly, in
Yeah.
the dunk contest, which I guess makes sense because you've got to see it in real time to you've got to know what they did, sort of thing. That's why.
Yeah, and argument sake, the round before where Gordon did the what I call the cog dunk because it worked like clockwork.
All the rotating
Yeah,
stuff
and
imagine.
basically there was three rotating points in terms of obviously the mascot, and then you had Gordon doing the 360 spin, but then he also kind of windmilled it, so his arms were in also. So that's why I was referring it to the cog because it was like,
Yeah, and did the mailman
yeah.
hand on the back of the head, a special delivery on top of everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, these were some amazing dunks, and the one where he went over and put it under his leg, under both legs, and was sitting in the air. They did you see that? I think it might have been
The
ESPN
sports science, yeah.
or Sports
He
Science
would have
that
won bronze in the
the 2012
2016.
Olympics with that high jump. Admittedly, his feet weren't that high. His feet would have knocked the bar
Yeah.
with that in that position. But that's how high you can jump.
Yeah.
So that's it was an impressive dunk. Stuff that hasn't come. People are a bit down on Zach LaVine, but the behind the back off the bounce, the windmill from the free throw line, the between the legs from,
And the
okay,
alley, and the alley from the three throw line.
yeah, and okay, so maybe not all of them were as far back as Jordan, Brent Barry, some of Jordan's, a couple of Jordans were further back. The ones that the it's funny, the furthest ones that Jordan jumped from are the ones that aren't shown. It's always that last one in 88 where he was the closest inside the line.
Yeah.
In 87 he and 85 he was actually closer to being behind the line and kind of on it. Serge Ibaka was behind the line when he did his in when did he was it 2012, 2013, something like that when he competed,
Yeah, I
2014.
think so.
So
At
I
least he
mean,
didn't try and do a Josh Smith from like a foot or two behind.
oh yeah. Well, the point is, even it's close enough to the line, and it's still a basic idea of a
Free
free
from
throw line
yeah.
within a foot of the free throw line, either way, a step or whatever inside the line, doing the alley-oop, or it's a variation, and that's what I like. No silly gimmicks. The biggest gimmick is jumping over something, which I think when you do it like they did is impressive, or how Aaron Gordon did, I should say, is impressive. Variations on old dunks, new ideas. I'm sick of people saying the dunk contest is back. Sometimes those are off years, but we've had some nice contests in the last decade or so. But this one, you kind of give people a pass on saying it because it was amazing dunk contest. It's yeah, the most exciting in years. And even if some of the arguments about the old contests are selling them a bit short, no, this is right up there.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's right up there. I think I said it. I tweeted out, and you and I were talking about it on Messenger, after it happened, and said, that's right up there. That's basically, like you're saying it. I mean, that I said that's legitimately one of the best dunk contests.
Yeah, I mean,
And you can put it right up there with all the other ones, because it's like you said, the final round, the dunk offs, and it wasn't one of those stupid things where we had a dunk off because Kenny Smith looked across and changed his score, like he did to Andre Iguodala in 2006.
yeah.
And I know people were a bit down on the judges, but yeah, maybe Aaron Gordon should have won, but when it came down to, you had to, when it came down to it, Zach LaVine probably had the best tiebreaker dunks. So it's not who had the best performance overall. It's kind of who's had to get that last tiebreaker dunk. And unfortunately, he attempted that one, like you say, the Baby Jordan mix,
Of Dominic, yeah.
remix kind of dunk,
Yep.
for lack of a better word, for that amazing dunk. The sort of the tomahawk into the double pump reverse. Unfortunately, that didn't get the score that perhaps he was hoping for, obviously hoping for. But it's cliche to say, but we all won from that dunk contest. We saw an amazing dunking display in a event that a lot of people are down on and always saying, "Oh, we should cancel it. It's not exciting anymore." They brought the excitement, and I want to see a rematch.
Yeah, I'm automatic entry next year for those two guys. They have to go again and sort of see what they could do. And yeah, it anties it up for next year. I think Westbrook said he'd go in it if he could dunk over Shaq.
Okay.
That was in a post All-Star Game Sunday interview, and he'd go in it if he could dunk over Shaq.
I'm just reading a late-breaking rumor that LeBron James has entered his name and immediately withdrawn it. So, yeah, the ship has definitely sailed on that one. Maybe not Westbrook, but certainly LeBron.
And I mean, like,
Any other thoughts on the? I mean, I've said it all. It was amazing. I rank it right up there. That's one of my favorite dunk contests ever, easily.
yep. I think for me, early stages, like they were getting introed and all that stuff, I was kind of worried, especially like with the Thriller dance attempt that when the camera kept panning, and it was just kind of awkward. It was like, and then even when Gordon came out in like the magic suit and all that stuff, I was kind of a little bit worried. It's like, oh, this could end badly. And I think the crowd, the first round, were really pensive until LaVine came out, because they knew it was a certainty that he was going to put on a show.
Yeah,
And then, yeah,
okay, please
I
don't
think it
kill
was
me.
the second, I
Yeah.
think it was sort of the second round was like, okay, we might have a show. And then obviously third and fourth round. And then from there, it was like, holy crap, yes, we got a show, all
Yeah.
right.
And I was so glad that there was cut down on gimmicks. It was basically just the intros, and then it was tricks with the ball, creativity with the actual dunking. So it was fantastic, absolutely amazing. And it's funny because they were talking, the commentators were like, "Oh, let's put the, all the NBA and TNT guys were like, "Oh, we should have the 3-point contest on last and dunk over LeBron just to be," and then boom, they just blow it away. Like, nope, that should be the main event. But the main event of the whole weekend, of course, is the All-Star game itself. I kind of don't want to rant about it too much, especially since we've got a little bit more to talk about before we wrap up this evening. But I mean, again, there were some exciting moments, and it's the stars, and I know it's the usual All-Star game and Kobe farewell, and that was nice and everything, but the West won record 196 to 173. Absolutely no defense played. Just let's take a look at the box scores. 83-point attempts by the West, 59 by the East. Paul George, for the second year in a row, a player scored 41, which lands between Wilt's 42 and MJ's 40. George did that on 9 of 19 three-pointers. How many players? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six players attempted 10 three-pointers or more. It's just more standing around bombing three-pointers, no defense. I hate to go Kareem on Dirk about the whole situation, sound like a bitter old man. But it's the All-Star game is just not, because I do love the All-Star concept, and I said this in the forum. I love the All-Star concept. I've really got great memories of great All-Star games past, which we'll get to in a moment. Some of our top All-Star weekends of all time, but it was like last year, and it seems to have unfortunately warped into something that I don't enjoy anymore because of the way there's just no real competitiveness. At least, whether they're really good. I'd say they're really good actors in the past and make it look like make it look like a competitive game. But I've seen Steel, so I know play. With Shaq, NBA players are not necessarily that good an actors. So, well, look at the flopping. Come on, these days. I miss the competitiveness and the actual a bit more of a commitment to defense. Not just standing back and seeing who can let each other shoot threes. Russell Westbrook has 17 three-point attempts in 22 minutes on the court. I don't think it was particularly good basketball, and a lot of people were commenting on Yahoo NBA saying this. Cancel the All-Star game. This is crap. This no longer represents, or resembles rather, real basketball, and it's kind of true. It's sad.
I agree. They're, I know the players, yes, they get a chance for a couple of days break and
They're there to have fun. Yeah, sure.
but it's a showcase of the game's best talent, and if they're playing like that, then hell, I could go in the game and I could probably score 20 in that game.
Yeah, back off us for it and let us give us 23 pointers. I'm sure we'll hit at least a couple of them.
Yeah, so it kind of defies the reason of having the best or the most entertaining in the game. If there's really no effort to play, people are gonna do the Matador defense. And yeah, just in terms of the international appeal, like you really want to try and showcase the game because it is that kind of, yes, it's an exhibition event, but it's a premier one where you're probably going to have, again, like sort of reiterating what I was saying, is you having the best in the game all in the one arena playing at the same time.
Yeah, and there used to be that good mix of competitiveness and showmanship and flair, and yeah, it would be a bit looser than a regular game or a playoff game, of course, but I know just players just seem to compete a little more. Maybe it's because players are too friendly these days, or I don't know, or they've all got together and thought, let's just turn it into an impromptu three-point contest. But yeah, it's, I've gone on about it enough, I feel. I don't want to be that negative person about it because I do like the concept, and it's easy to fall into a trap of saying, oh, it used to be better in the old days, which is not always the case for everything, but in this case, I think kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even though it's a long time since the 90s games, and we didn't quite get a lot of the coverage here in terms of like what we can now and that. But for me, the older games stand out more because they felt more competitive, and it felt more like a playoff game in terms of it being a
There was effort. There was
Yes.
it was like it's like okay, we're gonna make some highlights. We're gonna probably put up some numbers, but we're still gonna kind of make each other earn it. We're still gonna try, basically. So, and what really I guess disappoints me is that this looks like it's gonna be the trend now, and an event that I really liked, really look forward to. It's I'm maybe just gonna cut it at the dunk contest if it's gonna be like, the show we had. Maybe that's gonna be all I want to see.
Yeah, I mean,
All-Star Saturday.
if I don't know if they want, oh, well, they kind of did a few years ago have that horse game, didn't they, in the All-Star weekend?
It was like an All-Star Friday or something, yeah.
Yeah, if players want do that, like have an impromptu 3-point shootout against each other, maybe add that kind of event.
Yeah. It's or just expand the 3-point contest or something,
Yeah.
make it a 20-round thing. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned the horse contest because I didn't actually watch it back in the day, and I saw some footage of Kevin Durant because he won it, and they presented him in a trophy that was basically a horse and looked like a it basically looked like a toy horse that someone had just put in a cardboard box, and it'd be like.
The one that Milhouse has.
You read my mind. That's exactly where I was going to go. I've got a horsey.
Hey,
Nay, nay,
wuss.
wuss. Yeah, it's just it immediately came to mind as soon as I saw this garbage. Like they were joking it on NBA, the NBA on TNT guys. They're all, Shaq and everyone. They're all joking like, oh, you reckon he's got that still up in his trophy case? No, it's just
It's probably in the kids' room.
and tossed it in the garbage on the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was. I think it was a pretty good All-Star weekend for All-Star Saturday. The game is not what I want it to be anymore, and I guess you're saying the same thing as well. But with that in mind, I mean, we were going to mention it last week, where we thought we'll wait till we have got this weekend in the books as well. What would be your top three All-Star weekends?
MJ's last one.
Okay, 2003 in Atlanta.
That was competitive, and that one went into overtime.
Yeah, the first one to double overtime, in fact.
Yes. Older one is also Magic Johnson's last one.
92 in Orlando. Orlando, yeah.
And I was gonna say, in terms of All-Star Weekend events, there was this one that passed. Yes, given that the Sunday's game wasn't as strong, but I think given what we saw on a competitive All-Star Saturday, I think was a great thing. But I want to throw in that one where the East came back from being 21 points down.
97, Cleveland,
Yes.
Glenn Rice, the MVP, beating Wilt Chamberlain's record with Wilt Chamberlain in the building, which was
Well, it was also the one. No, hang on. This is the one with
saying that, yeah, Michael Jordan.
Iverson and Starbury, where they led the.
Oh, 2001.
Yeah, 2001.
You're thinking 2001, not 97, or
Well, I mean, there's both of them.
okay,
But
so
yeah,
you got the
the one that I
yep.
was initially thinking of was the one with Iverson and that where
Okay, 2001,
where
yep.
they bought it back, in terms of did that really good comeback. So.
Doesn't one in Washington. Washington, that's right.
So, games like that, they stand out because, you sort of get that memorable effort, and the players were putting their heart on the line because the East had lost, from memory, they had lost quite a few in a row in that one, or leading up to that one, and
They lost the previous one.
okay.
Because that they won 96. 97 and 98. There was no game in 99 because of the lockout,
Sure.
and then 2000, the game in Oakland, the West won.
Okay.
Tim Duncan and Shaq co-MVPs.
That's right.
See, I know my All-Star history.
I
I'm pulling all this out of the top of my head, the locations as well. So just to toot my own horn on this one.
So you got the good memory. I just remember moments. I don't remember dates and stats and that. So
Yeah.
yeah.
Don't ask me to do any high school maths. I
Oh
can't do
no,
that.
no.
So.
Yeah, I remember grade 12 mate asking the whole class, does anyone remember how to do long division? I put my hand up.
Nope.
I got to like the first or second bit, when you do like the subtraction and that for all
Yep.
from
Well,
the second
it's
row.
calculated.
And then after that, I'm like, I just froze. I'm like, crap, I got no
Well,
idea.
okay. That's bits of it. Okay, so ranking your top three, that's 2003, in third place. Sorry, what was your second one?
It was John's final one, Magic's 92, I think it was.
Oh, 2003, 1992, and then top one, no, 2001.
Yep.
That's a solid. Those are some solid ones there, absolutely. So I'm cheating because I've gone back to my top five All-Star Weekends Friday Five article, also to see whether I'd changed it all. And I actually, tell you what, I'll do my honorable mentions
Yep.
for my, which I'll leave it at for now. And it was number 5 and 4 in the top five All-Star Weekends in Friday Five. 1991 in Charlotte. That was Charles Barkley got the MVP, but Michael Jordan had a great game. The 91 dunk contest, which ended between Sean Kemp and champion D Brown, pumping up the sneakers.
Yep.
The Reeboks, Craig Hodges winning the 3-point contest and hitting was it seven, making 19 shots in a row. So that's kind of my, that's a very, very good All-Star weekend, very good competitive game as well. Just to throw that out there. 1997 is my fourth one and second honorable mention. That was in Cleveland. That was the one where Glenn Rice was the MVP, as I said, setting the scoring record at the time, and Michael Jordan had the triple double, first in All-Star history.
That's right, that was a really good game.
And of course, the East came back after the deficit, and All-Star Saturday night, the dunk contest kind of underwhelming except for a couple of dunks. Kobe Bryant did win between the legs. It seems kind of quaint now that they kind of go between the legs on every dunk.
Yeah.
So back then it was still a big deal. The format kind of wrecked it. Michael Finley attempting the cartwheel dunk that didn't go down.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr won the 3-point shootout. And of course, they had that great halftime show when they presented the NBA's 50 greatest players. Still gives me chills when I watch that.
Yeah, that was good. I was trying to remember, like when you mentioned that one, I was thinking, wait, is that
That's
the
the one,
yeah
yep.
NBA 50 sort of,
NBA 50,
yep.
yeah, that was great. But getting into my top three, 2000 in Oakland,
Yep.
that was with the Vince Carter dunk contest. As I said, Shaq with the 360 dunk in the open court, co-MVP Shaq and Tim Duncan. A pretty good 3-point shootout as well, but it's definitely, that was a pretty good game. A good game of the new stars, because that was just after Jordan retired. Of course, he would come back a couple of seasons later, but some of the new stars were like Allen Iverson and Tim Duncan were really starting to become, the top players in the league at that time, and that was sort of the coming out party for them, I guess. I mean, Tim Duncan did win the title with the Spurs the year before, but you know what I mean. It's sort of, the changing of the guard there. And of course, the dunk contest, which brought it back after Cheryl Miller proclaimed, "Forget the dunk contest, two ballers here to stay," in the '98 All-Star Weekend when they got rid of the dunk contest stupidly. Number two, 1996 in San Antonio. That's Michael Jordan's first All-Star game after the comeback, because he came back after the All-Star break in 1995 in March. Of course, that was the Bulls' record-setting 72-10 season. How long that record's going to last, who knows? As we've said before, Michael Jordan with the "I've Still Got It," Shaq with that big dunk over David Robinson.
Yeah, that was solid.
And it was kind of the last All-Star game to feature all the players that came along in the mid-80s. After that, they started to get a bit injured. And like Charles Barkley's last All-Star game, he was selected in 97 but couldn't play due to injury. Clyde Drexler. Things like that. It was just sort of that last showcase of the players that I remember as a very young fan. So that was cool for that.
And
And
like one of Dominique's last ones, and
oh, that would have been 94 was Dominique's last one.
then he's tried doing that windmill dunk, but he bummed it.
That was actually 91, that
Okay,
one.
that's right.
Yeah. So actually pretty good dunk contest that year. Brent Barry went from the free throw line, and Tim Legler over Steve Kerr in the finals. Pretty good shootout. So very solid All-Star weekend, and definitely Michael Jordan getting the MVP. And he had some nice dunks in that game as well. Put on a bit of a show. And competitive, just to throw it out there. So
And
and.
Jordan, when he did the tip and dunk from the free throw,
That's 97.
yeah, he could, because that hadn't been done for a while, and he was pretty happy about
Pretty happy with himself, yeah.
that.
Remember Matt Gukas saying, "Look at the smile on Michael's face." It's like, "I haven't done that in about 9 years." So,
I thought it was 7.
something like that.
Yes, yeah, I think it was 7 years.
I mean, he might have said 9, but it probably was closer to 5, 6, or 7, yeah. So, am I? My number one is the 1988 in Chicago. That was Michael Jordan scoring 40 points on 23 field goal attempts, 8 rebounds, 4 steals, 4 blocks, 3 assists, quite a few entertaining dunks. He also won the dunk contest, so he's All-Star MVP. The East won. Again, competitive game, just to keep throwing it out there. But a really good game. He and Dominic basically, because they went for the dunk against each other in the dunk contest the night before. Classic one, despite what Adonde says. Not the point. But a great one of the great dunk contests in history. Not without its controversy, but another story. Great dunk contest. Larry Bird with a 3-point shootout, and it's the one where he had to hit that last shot to win it, and he put up the shot and was walking away with his finger in the air before it even went in. So the great Larry Bird moment there. Then that All-Star game. So Dominic Wilkins and Michael Jordan actually on the same team on the East, but they were still competing for the MVP with all their scoring. But with 40 points, Michael Jordan got that fairly easily, and of course in the hometown in Chicago. So yeah, that's my number one. I've got them all on VHS on Pontel tapes, so well, tape VHS tapes from Pontel, I should say. So yeah, that's my top three.
That's a very subtle list.
So hopefully, maybe some 2017 will bring some changes back to the classic era. But at the very least, we'll hopefully see a rematch between Gordon and Levine. Levine, I want to see him go to be the first person to win three in a row, and for Gordon to get his possible retribution. I kind of want to see them for the next 2 or 3 years just compete in the dunk contest, really.
Yeah. if they're gonna do that kind of thing, then yes, more so yes. I was gonna say, oh, the next year's one's officially in Charlotte, and I must say, the logo by Rare Design is beautiful for the All-Star game.
Okay, I'll have to take a look after we finish. After we finish recording, it's not just the like Jordan's face. It's not like a crying meme or something, is it? With the
Nope.
since it's in Charlotte. Okay,
No,
good.
it's
We didn't know someone's going to do it.
yeah.
People say that's not worn out. I'm sorry. Every meme, like arrow to the knee, everything gets worn out.
Yeah, I'll send you it now on
Okay,
Facebook.
well, I'll we've got a couple of things to cover before we wrap up, but yeah, I'll take a look. It's But as for that Jordan meme, I suppose it's only fair enough because he made everyone else cry for all those years. So,
That's true. Well, there's an article thing saying,
actually, that's the Queen City. That reminds me a lot of the '91 one. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, so that's pretty much All-Star Weekend. We do have the trade deadline to discuss very quickly. Just thought I'd get your thoughts on this, and the possible health scare for Chris Bosh. He was a late scratch from the All-Star game and the 3-point shootout. A report has emerged that he's got more problems with blood clots. That's unconfirmed, and the Heat are basically saying they're optimistic and that it's not a health scare and everything, but it kind of seems to be a situation where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah,
It's sort of worrying. It's worrying that there's rumors out there.
and it's a shame right now because, he was having a good season as well, and it looked like he had shaken it off from last year. But I know, and if the rumors are suggesting that it is as it's as serious as it is, and that, whether he has to retire or not, that'd be a shame, to end his career in that way. I mean, yeah, it's not something you want to see,
No.
especially to a player who's, been good for the league and that. So, and he's been good for my team. So, it's.
Absolutely. But of course, at the same time, if that it really is, I mean, if there are recurring problems with blood clots, that's not just career threatening, that's potentially life threatening as well. So, I mean, if he has to go on those blood thinners and does end his career, as much as it's a shame, that is the wise decision, if nothing else.
Yeah, and
But as you said, you hate to see it.
yeah,
He's still only young. He's I think about 30, 31, if I recall, about the same age as LeBron
yeah. So,
and myself. So not old at all. Very young, in fact.
just not the way you'd want to end your career. So, all the best to him, and hope that it's not as serious. And, if it ends up being that he has to retire, then I'm hoping that, there's some ambassador type role. I'm sure the Heat will want to keep him in the family in some way. And,
Definitely, definitely.
I mean, if the Heat still keep Whiteside in that before the trade deadline and free agency and all that stuff, a mentorship role with him and Zoe sort of really
Yeah.
keeping him under the wing. So
Definitely.
that's what I'd like to see happen.
But he's apparently not traveling to Atlanta for the Hawks game. So it's definitely a bit iffy. So I guess we can just wait and see until there's an official confirmation. But unfortunately, some very worrying speculation at the moment. By the way, he is 31, turning 32 in March 24th. March 24th, it's the same day, same birthday as the Undertaker. Just to throw that out there. So hopefully not an omen. That's very dark. I apologize. Also, by the way, just to throw it out there, Sherrone Wright was the sixth overall pick in the 94 draft of the 76ers and played 4 years in the league with the 76ers and Raptors. Does not make his opinion on Kobe versus Jordan any more valid than anyone else's, just to say that. So the trade deadline is coming up in a matter of hours, basically. In fact, if I look at the world clock from when we're recording this, let's see, New York. In fact, let's see, about 8 hours' time, I believe. So, hopefully, you may be laughing at what the predictions we're about to make and the speculation, but they reckon that as many as 35 players rumored to be moved at the deadline, and Pau Gasol is apparently on the block, although he does want to stay in Chicago. The Clippers looking to get Channing Frye from the Magic, and possibly Lance Stephenson will be involved and then cut, apparently. There's rumors about Gasol going to the Kings and the Bulls. Also, Gasol going to the Kings, but there's different rumors about the Kings giving the Bulls less strict protection on the draft pick that they owe them.
Okay.
So if they so if it falls a bit lower, they might the Bulls actually might get it. And there's talk about let's see if I've got the Gasol. Gasol, Tony Snell to the Sacramento Kings for Kostakouvas, Ben McLemore, and lowering the lottery predictions on the 2016 first-round pick to Sacramento as the Bulls. So I feel a bit iffy about that. I feel that Gasol's value is a little bit higher, but definitely the pick is interesting. If they there is a chance that the Bulls will get it, because it might turn out to be okay. Let's see. Pelicans are pushing hard to find a trade forward Ryan Anderson, since they expect to lose him in free agency. Tobias Harris has already been dealt.
Yeah, to Detroit.
Pelicans, let's see if anything else. Denver's Randy Foy gathers significant attraction as a veteran guard for teams. Minnesota looking to move Kevin Martin. And actually, apparently, Ricky Rubio is on the block as well.
Yeah, I've had speculation, and you know that New York are interested in him, especially if they can't get someone else from memory. So I think he's their sort of second option that they want to go for. Yeah, and there was like speculation about Melo going or something, I think.
There was. I think that's been shot down. That would be a big trade, obviously, if it does.
Yeah.
Talk about Kevin Love going to Boston, possibly, as well. I've seen that rumor. It's not mentioned in this particular article on Yahoo NBA, but I have heard that before. Who do you see actually moving? I'm not sure that the Bulls are actually going to make any kind of big trades, because it's kind of not there. Unless it's a salary dump, they usually don't kind of do it.
I don't know. It's tough. I suspect there'll be a big one, like a big trade.
Because there's also rumors Jeff Teague, Al Horford.
Yeah.
Al Horford from the Hawks.
And then obviously the Dwight and James Harden sort of thing going on there. I don't know. Given what happened last year, was it like 9% of the league or something and switched on to what moved teams on the one day?
It was actually.
Yeah.
So you've actually. We won't do a trivia question this week because that was going to be my trivia question.
Yep.
Last year, 11 trades in a day that saw a record 37 players moved ahead of the 2015 trade deadline. So yeah, that was a significant chunk of the league. That's like almost three full rosters.
Yeah.
Worth of players.
Yeah. So
yeah, that'd be about right by percentage. If then again. Don't ask me to do maths. We established this, but
I just remember that being the meme from last. Like, there's that sort of meme from last year when you realize that 9% of the league, changed teams or something like that. So I still got that one somewhere, so I have to look that up.
More trades than Luke Ridnour.
Yeah,
he was the off season. Rumors of Blake Griffin possibly going, but then they've also heard that he might not be going till the end of.
Yeah, I think more it'll happen more after at the end of the season. I think.
Still talk with Dwight Howard as well, possibly Ty Lawson as well. Just going through this other rumor, David Lee. So a lot of players on the Celtics, and of course, Hassan Whiteside possibly moving if they think they're going to lose him in the offseason. So
he was a possibility with Dwight and that, but I really hope he stays. I just see him fitting in the system very well there, and obviously given what's happened with Bosch and the fact that they just traded Birdman away, that they're not going to have any other big man option, really.
No.
And I don't see Dwight being...
Well, he can opt out as well. He can opt out of his contract and leave, so
they
get nothing unless they get a draft pick or something for him as well.
Yeah, so I just don't see Dwight being effective for Miami in that sense. So, and just as a fan of him, of the Heat, I don't want him seeing on there. I see him being more toxic, more than helpful in that sense. So, yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to do bold predictions in a moment. So, for a specific bold prediction for this week. because of course I'm not on the board yet, and we were both wrong about our All-Star predictions last week. Who do you think is actually going to move? I think Markieff Morris is definitely out. Even if it takes, well, he's gone even if it takes a buyout. If they can't find someone to move him, he's gone from Phoenix, I think, one way or the other. I can't shake the feeling that Howard is going to move.
Yeah, I think there's
Just because it seems to be too much friction and Houston's just sort of spiraling a little bit, so.
the fact that they're still under 500 wins.
This far of the season, over the halfway mark. So it feels like he's going to move. Some of the talks between apparently the Celtics and the Cavs, I can kind of see a couple of big moves happening. I wouldn't be surprised, and that I'm not sure about the Bulls scenarios that have been thrown out there, and I kind of think it's just going to fall through because the Bulls just don't sort of make trades that aren't salary dumps. So, but hey, prove me wrong. That's why I'm not making my bold prediction, because it keeps screwing me over. So, any names that come to mind?
I wouldn't be confident in who I could think of.
I mean, it sounds like Channing Frye is probably moving. Apparently, the Clippers told the Magic they need until Thursday morning to decide on a deal that would need send Frye to the Clippers for Lance Stephenson, CJ Wilcox, and a second round pick. The Magic have no desire to bring back Anderson Varejao's contract in a deal, and Stephenson will never play for the Magic. Orlando plans to waive him if they trade for him. See if either waive or immediately trade him if he's acquired from the Clippers. For Orlando, that deal would mostly allow the team to save money in the final year of Frye's $8.2 million annual salary, so avoid any luxury tax, I suppose. So there might be some salary dumps around the league. But
A laughable situation. David Lee, obviously, I think you mentioned that, he ends up getting
off he goes to Cleveland, and the Cleveland ends up facing the
or
Warriors in the finals.
yeah, or even if he
I was
somehow,
thinking that too.
even if he gets signed and dumped and all that stuff, and he ends up signing as a free agent to all yeah for minimum contract and all that stuff with the Warriors, returns back to there after
The
leaving.
Warriors, two things, yeah. Hey guys, thanks for trading me. I'm back.
Well,
And now that
no,
you're
he signed as a
here,
free agent from memory.
yeah.
So yeah, ends up back. It's like, hey, I made a mistake. It's like going back to your ex.
No, sorry, no. Levy was traded to the Celtics.
Oh, okay.
He went straight to the Celtics, yeah.
Okay, I thought he was.
No, he was traded. He was traded to the Celtics.
Okay, my apologies then. The most laughable
So,
one
yeah.
is if somehow Orlando and Houston do a deal and Dwight ends up back in Orlando.
Well, yeah, he'll be a popular. Well, Tobias Harris got traded, so number 12 is available again. So
Yep.
he was pretty upset when his number 12 was given away. So, here's his chance to get it back. So we will see what happens. We will react to the trade deadline, I guess, in next week's show. So hopefully you enjoyed our speculation on what has probably happened by the time you're listening to this. But hey, it's just time we're recording into the week, so had to throw some predictions out there. Speaking of which, we are wrapping up this week's episode of the NLSC podcast with our bold predictions for this week. Now, I am 0 of 10. You are 5 of 10. You are doing okay. I'm doing terribly. This is the line of this is just continued throughout. No matter if I've gone every time I've seemed to go for a safe pick, it's turned out to be, nothing has been safe for me. So what I'm going to say this week, let's see if I can get on the board. 1 of 11. A fantastic shooting percentage. I'm going to say at least one big name gets traded before the deadline. So at least one big, at least one is going to play at one big name, even if they're not at the top of their career. So if Gasol gets traded, I'm still going to count it. If one big name, at least one big name is going to get traded at this trade deadline.
All right, I think that's a good one. I think I'm thinking it's a safe bet.
We've said that before.
Yeah, that's true. For my one, I was gonna say that Philly beat New Orleans tomorrow, well, slash today from when this is released. So that's my bold prediction.
Climbing up the standings, the tank commander is not going to be pleased. So
Yeah.
those are our predictions. Can we get back on track with you to a 6 of 11 next week? Myself 1 of 11. We shall see. But that has brought us to the end of another episode of the NLSC podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed it. If you did, why not subscribe to us on iTunes? You can also catch us on the go on the Stitcher app. Just search NLSC podcast, and there will be. You'll see the logo. Of course, you can keep streaming on the NLSC itself. As long as you're tuning in and having fun every week, that's the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thenlsc. And you can follow us on Twitter, @thenlsc, and keep it locked, of course, to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for all the original content, patches, and everything else we do in the basketball gaming community. But yes, that is it for episode number 146 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And this week's tip, when you're playing basketball video games, especially against a bunch of three-point shooters, do not lose your cool. You will get burned.
And just a shout out to happy birthday, Michael Jordan.
Absolutely. And check out my MJ in Flight retrospective.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's a good video. I watched it. It was,
I think.
No worries.
Well, see you next week.
See you next week, people.